I'm Captain Kevin Smith, and this is Throttle Up, a radio show and podcast dedicated to the proposition that critical thinking, when employed, can dramatically improve performance in whatever we are doing, enable us to solve problems that others avoid, equip us to become thought leaders instead of followers, and provide us with the intellectual resources and moral courage to support and defend America and its Constitution. Our motto is clarify, reason, win. That is, clarify the actual, employ analytic reason, and achieve mission success. Our website, throttleupradio.com, that has all kinds of information. Also, our podcast is located there, as well as iTunes. And of course, we have a blog, so please visit our website. Our support staff, Evergroove Studios for audio engineering services. They are located in Evergreen, Colorado, and Reflections Printing for multimedia support, and they are located in St. George, Utah. Our book is Critical Thinking Essentials, Quick Reference Handbook. It is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. Our broadcast time on Red State Talk Radio, we are on the weekends, both Saturday and Sunday, on the main channel, that's at 7 p.m., and the Encore channel, that's at 6 p.m. Okay, welcome back to another Throttle Up radio show and podcast. And we are going to interrupt our special edition. We have been running special editions of various forms for quite some time. And of course, you know, I've mentioned this before, but a special edition is a series of shows that addresses a particular subject or a group of subjects that we think are particularly important as we go forward, as we conduct our lives, as we consider things from a critical thinking perspective. And that's all well and good, and we like to do that. That's kind of like my thing, if you will. I like to discuss with you various aspects of critical thinking, and we also add to that complex problem solving, which is critical thinking in a bit more of a directed way, but nevertheless, it is. But we also need to, from time to time, touch base with current events and try to stay informed. This is not necessarily a current event show. We do try to provide you with information in a way that we hope will be helpful in your daily lives, in your professions, in your vocations. And so for this show, we are going to pretty much continue what we started on the last show, which is that this is kind of like an interim segment of shows to stay stay current with current events. Sorry about that double word, but I think you get my meaning in terms of trying to understand what's happening in the world of ours. Okay, so we were looking at what we call the four pillars of a society last time. And we're going to continue because we didn't finish, and we're going to continue. And I think it's probably a pretty good idea. This is a big picture perspective. Big picture thinking, of course, is one of the keys to critical thinking. And looking at things from a holistic or from a big picture perspective is always useful. So just to clear the air, what are the four pillars of a society? And I will list what I think are the four pillars of a society. You may have a different list, but that doesn't matter. This is not the point. We're not comparing lists. This is some of my ideas I'm putting forward. You can make your own list. That's perfectly fine, and I would encourage you to do so. Okay, so the first pillar is, and I use two terms here, which for the purposes here mean the same thing, safety and security. We can also say parenthetically that is national defense. The second pillar is society and politics. The third pillar is economy and prosperity. And finally, the fourth pillar, and you might find this to be a bit unusual, but I say this in a very seriously, the fourth pillar, in my view, is innovation and creativity. Okay, so we're going to touch base on each one. I think we talked about safety and security last time. This time, we are going to be discussing society and politics. Now, yesterday, we had the first presidential debate. And we're going to be focusing on that, but we are going to be looking at it from a critical thinking perspective, which is basically this is what we do. We look at things critically. We look at things objectively. And in a more or less in a nonpartisan way, there will be some periods of time where I cannot stay completely neutral because for various reasons. Number one, that's not necessarily the objective of Throttle Up Radio anyway. I do like to stay objective, but point out certain things within the political dimension that I believe need to be seriously considered in terms of what's going on, in terms of how does it fit within the concept of America? What does it mean to be Americans? What does it mean to promote America first? What does it mean to assert things like make America great again and stuff like that. And sure, we will be discussing that from time to time and talking about those things that will preserve this great country of ours and strengthen it along the way so that it will endure. Okay, so the presidential debates, Trump and Biden, this occurred yesterday, which was, anyway, September 30th. Okay, so I watched the debates and I listened to the commentaries. I read some of the comments, listened to talking heads, read some articles, and so forth and so on. And we'll play some clips during the course of this show on, well, let's say some key aspects of the debates. But what I wanted to do is to, you know, give you my take on it, my perspective, if you will, my understanding, and, you know, some notes of, oh, caution. These cautionary notes might be useful. Understand where somebody is coming from is a good phrase to have in our knapsack of phrases, and understand that in almost all cases we are going to get political bias, we're going to get cognitive bias, we're going to have to sift through what is real and what has been made up. We're going to have to deal with what I call deception. Deception, the willingness to deceive others, is alive and well on planet Earth. We have to, you know, all accept that. That's a given. That's been around for a very long period of time. And it will probably continue for the foreseeable future. Hopefully it won't, but it likely will. And so deception is a given. And so we have to be able to discern and discriminate. I've mentioned this before, and I think it's worth mentioning again. There is a great courses program that I would recommend. It's called Learn to Discern. It's a short course, six segments. Nevertheless, it is a good thing for all of us to be aware of the contents of it. Learn to Discern is a way by which we can combat disinformation. It's a way we can combat propaganda rather than, as opposed to what actually is going on, what actually has occurred. Propaganda is, in fact, disinformation. It's information put out there that masquerades as being real, factual, and accurate, but it is not. It is not real. It is not accurate. It is not factual. Okay, so we're going to explore that during this show. Here's my overall impression of the first presidential debate in 2020. And I'm going to set the stage here. So I want you to understand something that I think is pretty crucial. Whatever we do, there has to be some kind of a context by which we view it. I call it the backdrop. What is the backdrop? What is the environment by which we are working? Do we understand it? So within the context of what is the backdrop by which these things have occurred yesterday, what is the backdrop? And here, I think it's very, very important for us to recognize what exactly is going on. What exactly is the backdrop with respect to the Trump presidency, with respect to the socio-political situation in the United States at the current time? What is the backdrop by which we need to have in place for us to consider certain events, certain occurrences, situations, and what have you? Okay, so let me set the stage for you. and describe the backdrop scenery. Here we have a president of the United States is running for a second term. There, of course, is a two-term limit on presidency. So he's running for a second and final term as president. First term he's faced many challenges. The president, we're talking about President Trump, he's faced many challenges. Most of the challenges he has faced, he has overcome. But he's also faced something quite unusual, that it was up until this point in time was entirely unexpected, which is that, he did not face the loyal opposition. He faced a belligerent opposition, and he faced an unrelenting attack on his presidency and an attempt to unseat a sitting president. Okay, so the backdrop. The backdrop is a unrelenting attack against the president and what he stands for. Constant stream of negative news. And it's basically, it's nonstop. Whatever is potentially damaging to this individual in his office is okay to publish. It's okay to put out there. It's okay to talk about. There has been a clarion cry for Trump's impeachment attempts, the Russian collusion hoax, and the failed coup. Yes, and that is a very hard thing for us average Americans to contemplate, the fact that there was an attempt to unseat the president through unlawful means, by utilizing the various levers of power within the federal government to do such a thing. There was the special counsel Mueller report, and on and on and on. It was just a nonstop series of things. All kinds of accusations and all kinds of assertions that were designed to be damaging. And so that's the backdrop. It's a very, very messy, a very, very ugly picture that is painted on the wall of this stage. And this is the stage I'm talking about is reality. There are forces afoot that are vicious in their attempts to try anything. It doesn't matter. They're going to try anything that they can to damage this person and what he stands for, damage the office of the presidency, and damage the country as well. And they don't care. they thrive on this. They think that a new form will rise from the ashes of the old form, if you will. And that's what they're willing to do. Now, how do we know that whatever, if they do in fact succeed in destruction, how do we know that whatever that proceeds, whatever comes after that, is going to be any better? It could very well be worse. How do we know it's going to be any better? We don't even have any any remote idea that it could possibly be better. How do we know that? And history tells us that it probably is not going to be. So that's the backdrop. What occurred? What I saw in Donald Trump, and I say this without hesitation or equivocation or without apology. What I saw in President Trump was a fighter. This individual is prepared, equipped, and willing to fight. He is willing to fight for the survival of this country against some very, very strong, entrenched opposition. The opposition actually comes from both parties, as it turns out, Republicans and Democrats. It comes from both parties, and that's rather disappointing. But I saw a fighter, and I saw a fighter who was willing to fight. Almost, you could almost say that he relishes fights like this. And I saw a fighter, and I was certainly glad to see him fighting for all of the positive things that he has done and all of the positive things that he sees for this country in the future. There are others who want to tear all of this stuff down and to cease progress. The a perfect example of that is the Green New Deal. It wants to stop the progress of modern industrial societies. They want to stop it dead cold. They want to stop it in its tracks. So I saw a fighter. I was delighted that President Trump was there fighting. It was, in some cases, it was a brawl, but that's because of the fact that Trump was dealing with a moderator who is biased against him. So he knew he was not going to get a fair shake, and he was preparing himself to deal with these loaded questions and these half-truths and some cases a complete falsification of reality that he had to deal with, not only from his opponent in the debate, but also from the moderator. And so he was going into this thing armed with that realization, and I think that he performed exceptionally well, especially given the fact that this was a very, very hostile environment that existed on that debate platform. Extremely hostile. I don't know who else could have done a better job. In my view, given those circumstances, in my view, nobody could have done a better job than Donald Trump did. So that's my take on it. And I'm going to play some clips. But before I do, just got something that just came up. That I think is probably a good thing to talk about and include in this show. And it's a piece. In fact, it just came up on my computer. It's a piece by from the Wall Street Journal, and it's about politics. Okay, I want to play a clip from Kayleigh McEnany shortly, which I think is important. But I did want to spend a little bit of time on this. This piece has just came across because it kind of, dovetails with what I'm trying to talk about. Now, keep in mind that I'm not endorsing anything here with respect to what these people are saying or not saying necessarily. I want you to look at this thing from a objective, critical thinking perspective. But this does have something to do with the presidential debate and how we should think about it in the context that I have been describing. Okay, so the title of this, and you could, of course, find it in the Wall Street Journal. Title of it is Commission Considers Changes to Format After Raucous First Debate. And it says it was updated September 30th, 2020. So I'm going to read this thing and make some comments because I do think it's important and it's pertinent to what happened during the debate. The Commission on Presidential Debates says it was carefully considering changes to the structure of the remaining two matchups between President Trump and Joe Biden a day after their chaotic first face-off, left Republicans and Democrats rebuking the president for his deflections when asked to condemn white supremacists groups. Okay, now that's the lead paragraph. Okay, now here's the situation that I'm trying to explain. All right, that lead paragraph is misleading at best. And it is, by many accounts, inaccurate. Anyway, let me explain, but I'm going to continue reading this. And this is pretty important stuff. The nonpartisan commission, which sponsors television debates and picks the moderator, said Wednesday that it soon would announce changes to ensure a more orderly discussion of the issues. The commission is grateful to Chris Wallace for the professionalism and skill he brought to last night's debate and intends to ensure that additional tools to maintain order are in place for the remaining debate, said a statement from the commission referring to the Fox News host who moderated Tuesday's debate. The Biden and Trump campaigns didn't immediately comment on the announcement. The remaining presidential debates are scheduled for October 15th and 22nd. Operatives from both parties said the debate often devolved into chaos, with each side pointing fingers at the opposing side for being disruptive or hitting below the belt during the debate. And Mr. Biden declared the debate a wake-up call for Americans while campaigning Wednesday in eastern Ohio as part of a train tour that was also set to include stops in the must-win battleground of Pennsylvania. Mr. Biden rebuked the president for his deflections when asked during the debate to condemn far-right groups, including those who espouse white supremacy. During the Tuesday night face-off, Mr. Wallace asked Mr. Trump if he would condemn such groups and urge them to stand down in clashes such as those in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Portland, Oregon. Mr. Trump said, "Sure, I'm willing to do that, but I would say I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing. If you look, I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace." After Mr. Biden urged the president to denounce the far-right group, Proud Boys, Mr. Trump said, "Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what, somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left. Mr. Biden responded Wednesday in front of an Amtrak train before a small group of socially distanced supporters in Stark County, Ohio, which twice backed President Trump, but was carried by Trump in 2016. I'm sorry, which twice backed President Obama, but was carried by Trump in 2016. The president of the United States conducted himself the way he did. I just think it was a national embarrassment, Mr. Biden said of Mr. Trump. Mr. Biden offered his own view of the far-right group. The president refused to denounce the debate, stating, "My message to the Proud Boys and every other white supremacist group is cease and desist. That's not who we are." Mr. Trump's aides said Wednesday there was nothing to clarify about the remarks. He told them to stand back, White House spokeswoman Alicia Farrow said on Fox News. But some fellow Republicans said he should have taken a clearer stance against such groups. "I was hoping for more clarity," Senator Mike Rounds said. Okay. Now, you get the gist of what's going on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's sort of like comes relatively uninteresting, but you get the gist of what's going on. Here we have, they have cherry-picked a remark and claimed it or asserted that it was a condition A when it wasn't. It was actually a condition B. Condition A in their mind was insufficient condemnation of white supremacy. That's their assertion. Insufficient condemnation. What Trump was doing was Trump was condemning extremism on both sides. And the follow-on question that the moderator should have articulated but didn't was, what about Antifa and Black Lives Matter? Shouldn't we condemn them also? And Biden did not condemn Antifa. And so here you have this double standard that just boggles the mind. It's just way, way too much to take. They are trying desperately to characterize Trump as being soft on white supremacy because he is some kind of a hidden white supremacist and he is a racist. And you can see where this is going. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You know, and I kind of, frankly, you know, in my position, you know, as an American, somebody who is tries to be thoughtful, someone who tries to think things through carefully and critically, this is very offensive to me. This offends me. This is an insult to my intelligence. If you have words that you must report on what actually was said, because if you change the words that we know that you're fake, but if you have words that are actually said and you want me to interpret them in a different way than what I would normally interpret them or what a rational person would interpret them, then you're asking me to acquiesce to your, what you would consider to be your superior intelligence. And I'm not willing to do that. I don't think any of us should be willing to do such a thing. I think what we should be doing here is saying, okay, We have a clear-cut case that Biden was not willing to condemn Antifa by saying that Antifa was just an idea. It wasn't actually a group. And so those people actually, from a physical standpoint, did not exist. So he was not willing to condemn them. And yet Donald Trump did condemn all kinds of radicalism, including white supremacy. And they are condemning Trump for not being forceful enough. So it is a complete double standard. It is absolutely preposterous. It just boggles your mind that this is going on. And yet this is the backdrop. This is the backdrop that I'm talking about that Trump faced when he went up on that debate stage. This is the backdrop. This is what he can expect to get from the major media sources. This is what he can expect to get, including such what you would consider to be middle-of-the-road sources like Fox News and the Wall Street Journal. He's going to get this stuff as well from almost all of the media sources, certainly all the major ones. And this is what he has been faced with from the beginning. So the fact that he comes out raring to go. He comes out, he's not lethargic at all. He comes out on that stage and he is ready to do battle because he knows what's coming is a great credit to the person that he truly is, to the person of such intellectual courage to be able to stand up there and give it back to these people in full measure. And I'm glad he did. I'm absolutely glad he did. I have no question about it. All right. Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to listen to Kayleigh McEnany and her discussions, which I think is going to be pretty interesting. Okay, here is a short clip by Kayleigh McEnany on the the post-Trump presidential debate analysis and Trump's position and thoughts about it. I think it's insightful, and so I'm going to be playing the, what is it? It's a four minute clip here. We're gonna listen to it. I think you'll find it interesting.
Kayleigh McEnany is with me, President Trump's press secretary. All right, Kayleigh, you saw the president right after he walked off the set, I think, last night. I mean, you were there. Did he tell you right after he walked off the set that he thinks he won the debate? Does he think that?
Yes, he does. He was in very good spirits. He brought the fight that I think the American people wanted to see. The American people wanted to see the president question Joe Biden in a way that the media never does. He gets a pass. You've seen those softball questions. And President Trump took on the role of both the media, what they should be doing, and a candidate sharing his record with the American people.
However, his style, the frequent interruptions, I mean, the insults came from Biden, but the frequent interruptions and the talking over everybody, that was a lot from President Trump. And I think that's what the audience didn't like and will turn off. Do you think would he change his style for October 15th, the next debate?
Well, one thing I'll note is the next debate is a much different format. It's a town hall. He'll be talking to voters. So by nature, it will be a different format, a different tactic. But what I'll say is this. The offense style of the president got the former vice president on the record with no answer to, has a single police organization endorsed you? Will you condemn Antifa? Are you going to pack the Supreme Court? Because the president was on offense, the American voter left that debate with a distinct answer and look at this vice presidential candidate or former vice presidential candidate that they had not had previously.
There's not many people left undecided in the middle. Do you really think that you converted any of them to the Trump side last night?
I think voters ask themselves this: who do I want sitting across from President Xi of China? Who do I think will be the best leader of this country, ready to take the fight to world leaders, standing up and aggressively advocating for the American worker as factories come under threat, as they did under the Obama-Biden administration and manufacturing jobs dwindled? Who's going to be the person to stand up for my job, my country, the best interests of the American people? And I think there was a very clear answer to that last night.
Here's another one for you, Kaylee. You say you want a criminal investigation into the New York Times article on the president's tax returns. What, make your criminal case.
Look, that's up to the DOJ as to whether they open an investigation, but we're very concerned when the private documents of the President of the United States or any American are leaked to a media outlet, which then publishes that information on the front page. We also know, by the way, the New York Times, of course, published classified intelligence when they talked about the Afghan bounties. That was unverified intelligence, but of course, splashed across the pages of the New York Times. These things are serious. We know the IRS was used to target Tea Party groups, and it's very important that we do not weaponize parts of the government against American citizens or against the President of the United States.
Let me go back to Joe Biden. What's your response to this? Biden won simply because he got through the whole 90 minutes, no gaffe, no senior moments, no lack of focus, and reasonable amount of energy all the way through. Therefore, he survived, he won. What do you say?
Yeah. I think no gaffes, that's a really subjective interpretation. I would consider it a pretty big gaffe when asked about Antifa, an organization that has killed Americans and targeted police officers, and there's no condemnation of that group. I'd consider that a pretty big gaffe along with many others. Look, the media was dying to write the headline this morning: Joe Biden prevails, Joe Biden exceeds expectations. Notably, you don't see those headlines out there. Instead, you're seeing the question, should there even be two other debates? That's a question a loser asks, not someone who thinks they won the debate.
Kaylee, I know you're busy, but thank you very much, Kaylee McEnany, for making time to come on our show this morning. We do appreciate it, Kaylee. Thank you,
Stuart.
Okay, so here you get a flavor from certain sources. All right, so here you get an idea of what's going on in this. Well, going on in this situation, what's going on in this particular frame of reference? What's going on with the sources of information? What's going on with the media? What's going on with the people who are paid to express their opinions? The opinion sources, and what's going on here, and how should we consider such a thing? How should we consider such a situation? And you know, this also brings up something that I mentioned before, which is, I kind of think that this whole anti-Trump bias was on full display, and it was done in a way that was, you might say, was slightly below the surface. It was done in a way that was not immediately announced from the rooftops, but it was there. And I guess what's insulting to me is that whoever was putting on this charade was assuming that I was going to be too stupid to recognize it. They were going to be able to get away with it. Okay, so exactly what am I talking about? So I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by getting away with it. Now, I read you this article in the Wall Street Journal that talks about how Trump was not forceful enough, or some people claim that he was not forceful enough in his condemnation of white supremacy. Okay, but they don't talk at the same time about the fact that Biden was not willing to condemn a left-wing radical group that is called Antifa that we know conducts violent actions against Americans and against America. We know that. So number one is, why did the moderator not bring that up in the course of his moderation duties? If white supremacy was on the table, and if Trump condemned them along with left-wing groups, why did the moderator not bring up the fact that Biden was not willing or would? Why was Biden not willing to acknowledge even the existence of Antifa and challenge Biden with respect to that particular assertion, which was, I don't know, which was completely made up? The assertion was that Antifa is just an idea. I mean, it's that the whole thing is pretty, the whole thing is pretty outrageous.
The issue of race. Vice President Biden, you say that President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville 3 years ago, when he talked about very fine people on both sides, was what directly led you to launch this run for president.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt this. That actually was proven to be false. So Chris Wallace is repeating something that has no basis in fact. Trump actually did not say that. That was completely fabricated and made up. So just keep that in mind as you're listening to the rest of this stuff.
President Trump, you have often said that you believe you have done more for Black Americans than any president, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln. My question for the two of you is, why should voters trust you rather than your opponent to deal with the race issues facing this country over the next 4 years? Vice President Biden, you go first.
It's about equity and equality. It's about decency. It's about the Constitution. And we have never walked away from trying to require equity for everyone, equality for the whole of America. But we've never accomplished it. But we've never walked away from it like he has done. It is true. The reason I got in the race is when those people, close your eyes, remember what those people look like coming out of the fields carrying torches, their veins bulging, spewing, just spewing anti-Semitic bile, and accompanied by the Ku Klux Klan. A young woman got killed. And they asked the president what he thought. He said there were very fine people on both sides. No president has ever said anything like that.
It is his
second point I'd make to you is that when Mr. Floyd was killed, there was a peaceful protest in front of the White House. What did he do? He came out of his bunker, had the military use tear gas on him so he could walk across to a church and hold up a Bible. And then what happened after that? The bishop of that very church said that it was a disgrace. The general who was with him said all he ever wants to do is divide people, not unite people at all. This is a president who has used everything as a dog whistle to try to generate racist hatred, racist division. This is a man who, in fact, you talk about helping African Americans. One in 1,000 African-Americans has been killed because of the coronavirus. And if he doesn't do something quickly, by the end of the year, one in 500 will have been killed. One in 500 African-Americans. This man is a savior of African-Americans. This man cares at all. This man's done virtually nothing. Look, the fact is that you have to look at what he talks about. You have to look at what he did. And what he did has been disastrous for the African-American community.
So, President Trump, you have 2 minutes. Why should Americans trust you over your opponent to deal with race?
He did a crime bill, 1994,
where you call them super predators, African Americans, super predators, and they've never forgotten it. They've never forgotten it, Joe.
No, sir, it's his 2 minutes.
So you did that, and they call you super predator, and I'm letting people out of jail now that you have treated the African American population community, you have treated the black community about as bad as anybody in this country. You did the 1990s, and that's why, if you look at the polls, I'm doing better than any Republican has done in a long time, because they saw what you did. You call them super predators, and you've called them worse than that, because you look back at your testimony over the years, you've called them a lot worse than that. As far as the church is concerned, and as far as the generals are concerned, we just got the support of 250 military leaders and generals. Total support. Law enforcement, almost every law enforcement group in the United States. I have Florida, I have Texas, I have Ohio, I have Portland. The sheriff just came out today and he said, I support President Trump. I don't think you have any law enforcement. You can't even say the word law enforcement, because if you say those words, you're going to lose all of your radical left supporters. And why aren't you saying those words, Joe? Why don't you say the words law enforcement? Because you know what? If they called us in Portland, we would put out that fire in a half an hour, but they won't do it because they're run by radical left Democrats. If you look at Chicago, if you look at any place you want to look, Seattle, they heard we were coming in the following day and they put up their hands and we got back Seattle. Minneapolis, we got it back, Joe, because we believe in law and order, but you don't. The top 10 cities and just about the top 40 cities are run by Democrats and in many cases radical left. And they've got you wrapped around their finger, Joe, to a point where you don't want to say anything about law and order. And I'll tell you what, the people of this country want and demand law and order, and you're afraid to even say it.
All right. I want to return to the question of race.
Okay, that the reason I played that is because those last closing comments that Trump made about law and order, I think that is one of the top issues that we are facing, if not the top issue that we are facing in this presidential election. And I think that Trump, in this particular case, as well as many other cases, I think that Trump nailed it. He has taken this thing, this fight, he's taken it on, and he is defeating these people in their own game. And it is refreshing to see that. It is refreshing to see such a fighter coming forward that represents all Americans. And this includes everyone who wants to be, claims to be, and enjoys being Americans. Those are the people that he supports. Okay, so we are at the conclusion of another Throttle Up Radio show and podcast. Be sure to visit our website, throttleupradio.com. We have some new stuff that's being posted, and we will see you all next week. Well, that went fast. So this is a close of another show, another Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here. And I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.